bill that we're going to hear because it's easy is Senator, and I know that I'll do your second because you're okay. Senate Bill 687, we're going to open a public work session on Senate Bill 687. And there was a lady here that had some, was going to come back with some amendments. Do you have the amendments?
Okay. Yeah, and members of the committee, you have two packets today that we've supplied to you, and it's one that has the agenda top, and then the second packet has the SMSs and the amendments. We have a lot of things with amendments today, so that will help you. The 687 amendment requested by the proponents of the bill, it added a fourth, it's not inside, we're going to have that, the part of the definition of when a children are present must also include that when there's an exterior unfenced portion of the school grounds within 50 feet of a highway. And that was something she discussed with the last meeting. And the other item was that must be greater than 20 miles per hour in a school zone. It's defined. And that's the front page of section 4. Would someone like to move to that one?
Well, who proposed the gas tank?
Oh, she's the head of the Oregon Safety Society or something like that.
Oh, by the request of the bill.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
What, the existing law on school zones, isn't that set at 20 miles an hour? That's what's posted around school.
Mm-hmm.
What are we mending the statute for? What isn't there that needs to be there?
Oh, okay.
I apologize.
Well, that's okay.
I apparently wasn't here when you had a hearing on it. So.
What happens is, the law right now, it says a kid shooting baskets way across the school ground, and you're going 25 to 30, you get a ticket. And if there's a fence between, and there's two kids over there playing marks, you get a ticket. And so what they said is, when children present, they want to define it. It means when there's a child outside the fence, or if there's no fence, then that's when children are present, if there's children there. But if there is a fence, they have to be on the street side of the fence, on a sidewalk, or ready to cross. It can't be that there's a Saturday morning and two kids are shooting baskets. And they came, she was, what, is the requester of the bill's name right on it? It's Humbley. And what's her group?
Alliance for Community Traffic Safety in Oregon.
Yes, Alliance. And they have tried to make it because the judge, the police and tickets, and the judge has to find them, even though there were no children near, there weren't any children near the crosswalk, near anything. And we kind of agreed to the conceptual. And frankly, I'm not sure why it's 20 miles again repeated, because you're right, that's clearly in the bill. The whole purpose of the amendment was to define what children present means. Oh, I think there, I see it. They took it out another place, Senator Hammond. So it had to be put in there. Look on the page three.
So it's 20 when the criteria is not. Are we in a work session, Manager?
Yes, we are in a work session. It's on page 3, line 13, that's testing. Right. And so it has to be.
So then it would refer to posted speed on it?
Sure. Okay. I thought this would be quick. Oh, okay. Does somebody want to move the dash one? Come on.
Madam Chair, I would move the dash one.
Is there an objection? Okay, do you want to move the bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would like to move Senate Bill 687 as amendments before we do pass.
Okay, is there any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Senator York?
Aye.
Senator Hammond?
Aye.
Reed?
Aye.
Chair Shannon?
Aye. Having received a majority the bill is passed to the floor. We can do pass. Senator Castillo, you want to say it?
Sure.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 687. All right. Now we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 757. Okay. Would you want to explain it?
Yeah. Senate Bill 757, again, is the establishment of a highway construction fund, which federal monies would be placed in that fund. We do have a dash to amendment that we're considering today, it being your packet, and that requires that that per biennium no more than $201 million will be placed in this fund, and that the first priority of that money should go to modernizing projects in the statewide transportation improvement program, and it would also refer this money to the voters. Mm-hmm. And I understand that this $201 million is the increase in federal funds from biennium from the last biennium to this biennium.
That's correct.
Is it? That's why that number is. Mm-hmm. Is that flexible funds or is that funds that are going to the
voters? That's correct. Did we pass out the response that we got from MoDOT on how many of the federal dollars are actually available for roads? This was a... Madam Chair, should I go ahead and move the dash 2 for the point of discussion?
Yes.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the dash 2 amendments to 757, also known as LC 252-1, 428-99.
Okay, is there any discussion, objection?
Okay, you want me to explain it or you?
Yes, go.
Okay, basically what this does is that we are sending out to the voters to vote on Senate Bill 757 as a referral. What it does, it limits the amount of money that will go into there, and what reason we chose this number is because this would hold everything harmless in the rest of the ODOT budget. These are the new dollars that have been described to be coming in under T21 to the agency. So the current amount is in the $97.99, would be the amount that would remain in the $99.01. These dollars would go into the new construction account, which is defined on lines 13, 14, 15, and 16. And good bill should pass.
I want to ask you a question. Okay. Are you sure the $201 million is not already project specific?
As best we can remember, we can ascertain that isn't, and this is, and basically what this does, if you'll notice, all of the projects will be pulled from the SIP on the basis of priority with the approval of the Transportation Commission.
Have the local communities have already approved.
Right.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? Do you want to move the bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd like to move Senate Bill 757 to the floor with a due pass as amended.
As amended.
Oh, to waive. Okay.
Oh, Madam Chair, I did have a question. There was some of these federal funds can be used as flexible funds for the local governments, and that's right. This was the issue. I have my bill file right here. I just sent my staff to get it. I'm a little concerned about taking away the ability of local governments to be able to use these flexible funds for projects if they decide that they don't want to use them for highway construction and instead could use them for their projects. And if I remember in the bill, I thought it said that that's what would happen with these funds, that they would be restricted.
Madam Chair, if I could...
The SIP are approved by the locals. It's what their priority. That's not just ODOT says this will happen.
And the issue, too, is a good way to remember this. You have, right now, in the ODOT bubble chart, you have $661 million federal dollars. There's $201 million new dollars that are in that as compared to the $97.99. What we did is we just took the new dollars and moved them into this new construction account, leaving the remaining, I believe that's $460 million, that it's going to be distributed just as it has been in the past, to cities, counties, ODOT, whatever.
Madam Chairman, can I ask for just a two-minute recess to confer with the chair?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I would like to make pass the Senate President, but I think the prior referral to Labor Unions is on the bill.
Not.
Referral
for the people.
A referral for the people.
Right.
And so I think that that it will be.
So my motion then would stand as to support the
debate. Okay, we're going to have 2 minutes with them.
Thank you.
Does that mean we have an 8-member committee now?
No, Senator Hannon stepped out, so now we're down to
We have 7.
7?
Uh-huh.
You're still 7.
I said Deuce isn't here today.
Yeah, Deuce won't be here. When a member steps out, I just step in. I can step in for the
I
think you can actually come in if they don't. I think it's confusing if you have 8. It's the same. You should have, in that case,
so it's Q7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you opposed to this thing?
I'm opposed to it.
Oh, you're opposed. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they need 4.
I need 4.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Carriola.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I talked to Katie and I'm just going to fuck you. First of all, you're going to have me come around and they said, Melly was going to turn it.
Is this your bill?
Uh-uh.
No. Oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have too many details.
Absolutely.
And if you get tough to keep following this for a while.
Will it provide the information?
I don't know.
But I don't need to work like this.
There we
go. Just sitting back in time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always admiring. Well,
they're trying to talk with that for a moment. Some of the stuff is tough right now. Let me sit down.
I think okay. Yeah. This is one of your bills, right? It has your name.
It does. I see that.
Mm-hmm.
I have money. Mm-hmm. I didn't have
okay. Senator George has moved that we meant to move. To the floor as amended with the due pass. Is there any more discussion? The first call again.
Senator Castillo?
No.
Senator Carioli?
Aye. Right.
Senator Joey?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
No.
Senator Chairman?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Having received the majority of our committees, we're going to pass it. Senator George, you want to carry it? And Senator George will carry it. And next we're going to put this one over. Wait. Senator Bill, you have the Senator, actually, Senator, he's got me. I have too many pieces, sorry. I'm the mayor of Boston.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to encourage you to look at and pass Senate Bill 1301. It is an issue that has been an issue in Washington County. Is it only Washington County this would affect, or is it even more? Okay. Yeah, but it really affects the whole region. It's actually what has been known, it's calling to build a road that's known as the West Side Bypass that has been put off and put off and put off. But we have huge, terrible congestion problems because we have the high-tech forest, we have the Intels and all of this high-tech growth out in Hillsboro. And we just don't have a way to get around in that community. And so this bill just comes to bring this whole discussion to the surface, and I just felt it was time that it come before the body to discuss it. So.
I'm sorry that I didn't have Megan explain this. This actually is a referral to the people of Oregon to build the West Side Bypass. And
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity just to discuss this concept. I'll be as brief as I can just to tell you that I can, in full confidence, speak for every mayor in Washington County. We have a coordinating committee of all the elected officials who meet monthly. This has been a serious issue for a decade at that forum. Every mayor in Washington County supports the West Side Bypass, and frankly, we've been mourning its demise since Governor Roberts made the proclamation that it wouldn't be furthered. There is a serious amalgamation of business associations, the West Side Economic Alliance, which I happen to be on the Transportation Committee, that support the concept of the West Side Bypass. And again, it's been with frustration for several years that we have dealt with the fact that it has basically been removed from the Regional Transportation Plan. We welcome the opportunity for it to appear again. I've testified in front of all of you before about the need for additional transportation funding, and obviously a project of this magnitude needs funding, but the ability to have this available is probably the single most important infrastructure need in all of Washington County, and certainly paramount to the city of Tualatin, city of Sherwood, city of Hillsborough, and everybody connecting.
Thank you.
Senator Chapman and committee, my name is John Bindit, and I'm the current president of the Tualatin Chamber of Commerce, and I represent not only my business in Tualatin, but of course over 300 others. And the Tualatin area, the southwest region of Washington County, is sadly deficient in transportation of goods and services, and being able to, for our local businesses to move their goods and services throughout the region. And as it grows, it's going to be even more important and more imperative that this link between Hillsborough and I-5 and the Walden area come about. I have customers that live just a few miles down the road, and certainly take half an hour just to travel a few miles. And it's already put a pinch in our area to not have this type of service and this type of an infrastructure, and it's very important that we take a look at it. Thank you.
And just while you're here, Senator Qutub and myself are often portrayed, because we haven't been on the bandwagon for dash tax, not interested in roads. And just because you are sitting there, and I just would like to educate you and anybody that can hear my voice, that we firmly believe with $2.5 billion that there is money to get to the roads. And maybe it'll take a gas tax, maybe it won't. But Redmond has $12 million from all other sources. All they need is $5 million from ODOT, and they'll get their bypass. And $5 million isn't much out of $2.5 billion. So I think that that's what we do need to do, is go back and focus on the roads and worry about some of these other things later. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This last summer, I took my Land Use Committee to Washington County to talk about farmland loss, and one of the interesting things was we are an hour and 15 minutes, I believe, late getting started because the committee administrators had left here in what they thought was an appropriate time, found them in the traffic jam and an accident with no alternative route, and so we had to wait until our administrators got there to start the committee. The other thing that is really important about this highway is this plan has been on the drawing board for years, going clear back to Glenn Jackson and probably before. This is the first segment of this is the tie to the Newburgh-Dundee bypass that gets our folks to the coast. And so this isn't just for Washington County. This affects all transportation. This affects Tillamook County, Lincoln County, Yanville County, Polk County, all of the areas out there to the west. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We will move it today, so thank you very much for your
time. Thank you very much.
Senator Adams will come back. I have to hear, will you come up at the panel, Lynn Peterson, Ross Williams, and Doug Stringwell? And I'll let you in each of about 2 minutes. We're under a deadline, and this is our last meeting this week, and we want to work the bill so it will be important. Go ahead,
Chair Shannon, members of the committee. My name is Lynn Peterson, transportation advocate for 1,000 Friends of Oregon. I'm here to state that we strongly oppose Senate Bill 1301, which refers to the Oregon Voters' Ballot Measure. requiring the Oregon Department of Transportation to build a limited access freeway on an alignment similar to the proposed Western Bypass from more than 10 years ago. 1,000 Friends of Oregon and then Sensible Transportation Options for People, now Citizens for Sensible Transportation, worked cooperatively with Washington County, Metro, and the Oregon Department of Transportation to determine whether the Western Bypass was necessary to relieve congestion in the western half of the region. The many studies conducted at the time showed that for the 20-year time frame, there was less traffic demand for Western Bypass than had been anticipated, and that it did not significantly relieve congestion or other facilities in the area. In addition, citizens of Washington County expressed concerns over the impacts to their neighborhoods and the amount of farmland that would be devoured by such a large-scale facility. We are also concerned about how this project will affect the prioritization of projects that have already been determined in the region and the state. For the economic health and livability of communities throughout the state of Oregon, we urge you to vote no on Senate Bill 1301, and I brought with me today Volume 7 of our LUTRAC study so that you can see the results of that study when it was done.
Okay, thanks. Next.
My name is Ross Williams. I'm the Outreach Coordinator for Citizens for Sensible Transportation. We're an organization that was formed to originally propose the Western Bypass. We now define our mission as trying to help citizens create better communities with less traffic. The Western Bypass was rejected by our region's elected leaders after being studied for over 7 years. The conclusions of that process were that the bypass would affect only 5% of the county's traffic. It would reduce travel times by at most 4 minutes, and it would cost $500 million or more to build. The study concluded that the same money invested in many local transportation improvements would achieve greater benefits. By one measure, Oregon has the worst maintained roads in the country. It has the greatest number of miles of road in fair or poor condition of any state in the country. To use limited state funds on an expensive, unnecessary freeway through prime farmland is the kind of irresponsible spending that causes people to question approving increasing grass taxes for you to spend. Frankly, those of us who oppose the bypass would welcome a vote on this issue. We believe the state voters would reject it overwhelmingly. In other words, make our day. Put it on the ballot.
Thank you.
Chair Shannon, members of the committee, Doug Pendle, Maintenance Engineer, Oregon Department of Transportation. Senate Bill 1301 is another bill that attempts to reorder ODOT's priorities towards modernization by earmarking a specific project. This project may face, I just want to add that it may face some major obstacles even if it passes the vote, because there are significant federal and state environmental concerns. There's also, I'm told, some lack of agreement on the, while everyone feels this project is important, there's some lack of agreement on the exact alignment that will be used for this project. Thank you.
Doug, do you think that ODOT is willing to sell all the right-of-way they purchased if they're not going to build it, so we can get on and build them if they would build?
Chair Shannon, we are continuing to sell off all right-of-way that is surplus to ODOT, to the projects that we have going on right now. It's a process that's ongoing, has been ongoing for a number of years.
I just have a question, and that is, why do you want $61 million for the next buy-in to buy more if you're selling right now because you're not building?
Chair Shannon, I think that the question is whether or not we could get all of our right-of-way sold. If it is truly all surplus right-of-way, we have sold much of it. I believe the $61 million in there, it takes care of the right-of-way needs. We need to make sure that we can meet the requirements of the STIF to deliver the project that we've committed to. And if we had some problem selling off right-of-way and we're unable to replace that money as we work through the process, I believe that's why the $61 million is in the budget.
Madam
Chair,
go ahead.
What was the booklet, Lynn, that you held up? I just was wondering what it was you were referring to.
I just,
if you could just explain what it is.
It's a LUTRAC study. It was called Making the Land Use Transportation Air Quality Connection, and it was funded through grants and foundations and also the money that ODOT and Metro to look at not only the different alignments that were done in the draft environmental impact statement, but also the land use changes that could be made along with other transportation alternatives, more connections, more roads in the western half of the region, making connections so that people don't have to go as far their way to travel, the pedestrian environment, the bike environment, what kind of transit options we could. So that was one of the first times that the new West Side Light Rail was really studied in combination with a highway project, and the combination of alternatives proved better in the analysis than the Western Bypass.
Thank you. From the mayor, just to say it's better. The people living there.
Well, there's been the citizens, I still think, would fear a bypass and what it would do to their neighborhoods in that area, and how much money there is to get those options that people are requesting right now. Do you have anything to add?
Just that I do know from talking with the mayor of Wilsonville that they do not support the Western Bypass, and I believe a portion of Wilsonville is in Washington County. So,
we're waiting for Senator Adams. Are you aware that according to the transportation studies of the University of North Carolina, one of the few universities that studies transportation nationwide, that Oregon has the 8th best roads in the nation?
As I said, by one measure. The reality is that Oregon has a large number of roads that are in fair condition and many fewer roads that are in poor condition. I think that's probably a result of ODOT using the money that they do have and spreading it carefully around the state to maintain all of our roads in what's substandard, but nonetheless adequate condition, as opposed to only maintaining some roads in good condition and letting others deteriorate completely. So yes, you're right. Like some other measures, we don't have a bad problem, but we clearly have a problem with maintenance, and I think anybody who has driven on our roads understands that.
Okay. Well, we need to move. I'll come back to this. Senator Adams is late. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1301. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 858. Do you want to explain it to us? Yeah. Would you like to explain the bill, Megan?
Senate Bill 858, we have heard before, and it prohibits the city or county from granting exclusive franchise to taxicabs, limousines, or other vehicles for hire. And we do have an amendment before you today that allows the county and city to grant an exclusive franchise to for-hire carriers if they determine they need to comply with the requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Okay, go ahead. And the mayor of Wilsonville is here too. So.
Not the mayor.
No, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Charles Cage. Madam Chair, for the record, Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 14. I'll be very brief. You have a full plate today. It was accurately described by staff the amendments that we had previously discussed and had not drafted on the last hearing, because we didn't know if the work session would be taking place. This is that amendment. In this particular case, there's a number of small cities, Wilsonville is one example of those, in which they can't get taxicab service because there's not enough business, and so we want to make sure that there is service. This takes care of that part of the bill, and we'd urge your adopting that amendment.
Okay, we're just going to interrupt this work session for a minute. We'll close the work session on 8:58. Stay right where you are. Stay here. We're going to reopen a work session on Senate Bill 1301, and Senator Ferriol, you move 1301 to the floor.
I do.
As amended.
As amended.
Right. But you didn't amend it. You didn't have to amend that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Move Senate Bill 1301 to the floor. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have a number of concerns about this bill. For one thing, I don't understand why we're sending something that has to do with Washington County to the ballot. I mean, I don't think people in President Adams' district are going to care about a transportation project in Washington County, or in Eugene are going to say, let Washington County, you know, do their own thing, and why are we voting on what's a project in Washington County? So that's one concern. So I think when it goes to the ballot, I don't know how people are going to view it, but I don't know what, you know, why they would be concerned about it. The other thing is that I'm real concerned about us going around the very statewide public process that we have to develop a transportation plan in our state, and that goes out and asks citizens all over the state to help us prioritize projects, and then all it takes is the bill to come along and say, no, do mine instead. And I just think that flies in the face of our very democratic public process that we have for prioritizing transportation projects in our state. I have real concern about that, and this isn't the only bill. We've had several that we've seen in this committee. I think it's just a real slap in the face to the democratic public process we have for how we do this. And I think, you know, if we were to ask ODOT, where is this on your priority list, I bet it's not even 1, 2, I bet it's not even in the top 10. And so why would we do this when, you know, we've had people study what we should be prioritizing projects around the state? I just think this is a very bad way to go about deciding what projects we're going to move ahead on.
Thank you. Senator Fraioli.
No, thank you, Madam Chairman. I concur with the Senator from June's analysis that this is a slap in the face, but perhaps we ought to put it in a different perspective. The folks that I talk to in rural Oregon participate on our statewide planning opportunities, and one of them is certainly the STIP program, and the feedback I get is that they participate, and the slap in the face comes when their priorities for the STIP programs drop off, and they're reprioritized and told there's going to be projects, and there aren't any projects, and when they check back to find out whether or not what they were told is going to happen, the STIP's been changed, reallocated, and the projects go away. And so I guess there are people that feel slapped, and perhaps this is a response here.
Yes, you
want to. Well, if I can just respond, you know, I think it is really difficult, and I'm sure in my part of the state, if I talk to my local folks, they'd say, hey, we've had transportation projects on that list forever. We're very frustrated. You know, they haven't been done yet. But, you know, we have a system for looking at the entire state and trying to prioritize all the needs, which are the most important, you know, based on safety and a lot of other things. So I just think that you're trying to stick with that model as much as we can. It's helpful to everybody.
I remember earlier this session when some people came in, the mayors and the ones working on the Mid-Willamette Valley, they suggested 14 projects for the STEP, and ODOT chose two. I asked ODOT, would you have chosen those two even if they wouldn't have given the input? And they said, yes, those are the top two. We would have done them too. And the people in my district, my area, Mid-Willamette, they're going one more time to the OTC, the Transportation Commission, and if they don't take their recommendations, they're disbanding. I mean, the frustration is not just in Washington County. It's all over. And I just think, I would say one more thing before we take the vote, and that is 20 years ago, from 79 to 81, ODOT's whole budget, everything was $200 million. Today, it's $2.5 billion, and the governor said, sorry, we don't have any money for modernization. You figure out what a leap that is in 20 years, $200 million to $2.5 billion. And we're trying to send a message to the governor. No matter what your plan is on transportation in this state, we're with the people, and we want some roads. So whatever the message it takes to get to him, that's why we're trying to, that's what we're trying to get through to. If we want to prioritize roads again, and if we have to do it with initiative, so be it. So.
I'm sharing that further to the motion.
Yes.
If there is a value to this, in response to the senator from Eugene's query about why we would want people throughout the state to vote on this, I think that may have something to do with the voter explanations that would be in the voter's pamphlet about the chairs and the committee's frustration with the ODOT planning process and the SIP process and the fact that folks do participate across the state in what should be a democratic process that turns out essentially to be an exercise in futility and frustration for them over the time, over years. So I hope the chair of the committee and the committee members will participate in that democratic process by filing the appropriate voter explanations and the arguments in favor when it says go to every community and every voter in the state as a referendum, not so much on the bypass, but on ODOT's transportation plan.
I agree. I hope there is, Madam Chair, room for lots of explanation.
There won't be very much money.
Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye. I've received the majority of this committee. It is,
Yes, ma'am. It's a pleasure. I'll be happy.
Okay, we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1301 and return to Senate Bill 858 work session.
No, I was going to move the dash to amendment.
I was just going to conclude.
That was my remark.
Are those your amendments?
Well, they were the ones that we had submitted earlier.
Did you want to speak to them? You've got the vote.
Madam Chairman, I'm Dave Tanner, Public Affairs Director, City of Wilsonville. I was only here to support the dash to amendment. As a member of the League of Oregon Cities, of course, we do share the League's concern about usurping local control of what we think is a local issue. However, the dash two amendment certainly help local decisions.
Well, we've been helping local decisions all session, one way or another. So let's see. Thank you, John Putman and David Berenberg and Robert Kosky. Why don't you come up to the panel, please?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dave Berenberg from League of Oregon Cities. Just briefly, I wanted to add on to what David Kanner from City of Wilsonville just said. We see this purely as an issue of local control that the last hearing we handed out, or City of Portland handed out an article from Governing Magazine on taxicab turmoil pointing just to our neighbors in Seattle to the north, which had deregulated their cab system like this and had a hue and cry. Within 2 years, it was re-regulated as it was in 17 of 21 communities that did what this bill would have. Even if you agree with what this bill says, we believe that there's another overarching issue, which is that every city should be able to decide what works in its community for meeting its transportation needs. That citizens elect city council members to make those decisions, that if folks want to change whatever system there is in whatever city, there's an opportunity to come before before the city officials to make that case. And so what we have with this measure is the legislature saying that this issue is, if it's moved, is of such primary concern to the citizens of Oregon that we don't think we should allow the local governing authority to be able to decide how they can provide safe transportation for their citizens. And to us, it's just it's that clear. And with that, I'd like to end my comments to the committee. Thank you.
I'm Robert Kosky. I'm owner of Wilsonville Cab. I do have an exclusive franchise. When I made the considerable investment...
Who else is going to take care of?
Dash to amendment.
You have no problem. Thank you. Okay, there you go. All right. Or anybody like Wilsonville. Okay.
My name is John Putman. I serve on Metro's TPAC committee, which is Transportation Policy Advisory Committee. I'm not here as a representative of that committee, but as a citizen... I can tell you that we haven't seen the need for this legislation come before us. And believe me, in the city of the Tri-County area, transportation policy is taken very seriously. We spend thousands of hours a year or a month, I think. On any committee I've ever sat on, I've never gotten as much paperwork as when I got to Metro. And we have never seen the need for this legislation. I mean, nothing's been brought before us by any jurisdiction, by any provider, by any person showing that they're not, a need's not being met. And so therefore, I would hope that you would not pass this out, and I would hope that if you find that there's such a need, that you as a state legislature would go to local jurisdiction, ask for their input over the next couple of years, find out whether there is a need for this type of legislation, and then bring it back and let's do a comprehensive and a complete analysis of what is really needed. This isn't a good idea to just chop off the head of something that's been working. It works well for me to get an accessible metered cab that I know the fare and the rate. I don't see anything in here to help me, and I think this is a knee-jerk reaction to somebody's idea of how they think transportation should be provided. I think that we are in the region going to assess that type of service, jitney service. I think there's an opportunity, I think Wilsonville is the lead player in that, to see if that really can meet a need and if it is viable. But until we do that, I hope that you would not pass 858 out, and we would ask jurisdictions for their input on it, saying to them, we think, the state legislature thinks that there is a need. We want to hear from you before we make this knee-jerk reaction. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think it's a knee-jerk, but we've been receiving information for a long time. Go ahead, Senator George. Did you want to comment on anything? I thought you did.
No, ma'am.
No?
Okay.
There is an issue, Madam Chair. We just discussed it. What has happened? We had to actually violate what would be considered the most fundamental law of fair and free trade in order to give that power, exclusive power, to a local jurisdiction to make that decision. As you realize in this bill, there's still tremendous power that's vested in the local level. We've seen literature that's been presented to us talking about TriMet recognition that there needs to be opportunities out there for private operators to come in and meet some of the needs that are out there to actually fit the system together. Very similar to what I have on the coast, where you have a cooperative public-private interaction and providing the maximum amount of convenience so transit actually works. And I think this bill gets us down the road. It's a case where if we see it isn't working, we're going to change it. But the idea of not allowing opportunity and innovation, for me, is just wrong. And so all we're doing is taking back some exclusive power of monopoly and just saying you will allow a little competition. So it's a very moderate approach.
Okay. Well, I think Senator Hannon, you support this bill.
Okay, then
do you want to move it? We're in a work session.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 858, known as LC 273-4, 428-99.
And these are the Wilsonville and cities like this.
That's the Wilsonville, correct. Okay. Absolutely. That's at line 9, another section, under section 1.
Session?
Other changes.
Without objection.
Madam Chair, if we could move Senate Bill 858 to the floor with a due pass as amended.
I thought this was going to, this is one going away to me. Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah, that's another one. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, discussion?
Madam Chair. I have a no on this bill. This definitely goes against the issue of local control. I think communities should decide for themselves how to meet the transportation needs, and once again, the state sticking its nose in the city or local community business on transportation needs, and I'm a no on this one.
Okay, thanks. What's the call of the roll?
No.
Aye.
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 Aye. That receives a majority. It's declared passed, and Senator George, would you carry it?
Mm-hmm.
Just wait a second. We'll close then the work session on Senate Bill 858. And open. Okay, all right. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1065.
Do we have the sign up? Don't it come up?
I mean, did you declare 858 pass? And
oh, yeah, wait, yeah, I did. Didn't
go to the floor?
Yeah. Oh, okay, well, we'll Senate Bill 858. Senator George is going to carry it to the floor. We close that work session. And we're opening a work session on Senate Bill 1065. And Tim Ramos, would you like to come up? Don't you have some amendments?
Those are intended to be responsive to a concern that ODOT had, and they've not yet had a chance to address the bill.
Okay. We didn't. Okay.
Might be appropriate to have them testify.
Okay. Okay.
If they're necessary, I'd be happy to talk.
Okay. David Williams and Lucinda. Moyano. Sorry. I'll say it again.
Moyano.
And Dean Phillips. I'm not sure who you're with, Steve.
Brian Mann.
Okay. I'd like to hear your testimony.
Good afternoon, Senator Shannon, members of the committee. I'm Dave Williams. I'm with Region 1 in ODOT. We'd like to make four comments on the bill, if we may. First, let me preface this by saying that the bill relates to a condition Washington County placed on ODOT and TriMet requiring the placement of the Barnes Road on-ramp by 2005. We have indicated numerous times and intend and reiterate that today that we intend to honor that commitment. That said, let me make the four comments, please. One, Section 2, lines 9 through 10 of the bill states that construction of the project for purposes of the bill of the Westside project are completed as of September 1, 1998. That's not correct. The Westside Corridor Highway projects are not all complete. In fact, we have four more projects to complete, one under construction now, one to be programmed in 2003, and two projects yet to be programmed. So, as a factual matter, this sentence is inaccurate and probably...
What was that on the bill?
Section 2, 9 and 10, I think, are the last lines in the bill. The Westside project, Senator, had a transit component and a highway component. The transit component is completed, but the highway part was not.
And from the very beginning, you told them it would not be finished in 1998 or 1999. They have a false expectation?
Yes. The Washington County... I don't know if they have a false expectation. I'm not sure there was ever a final set date for completing the West Side project. The land use order that we're working under makes us build another project by 2005.
When did you realize that?
Well, since 1995, they placed the order on us. But the order doesn't relate. This is a very confusing issue. The order doesn't relate to the West Side project per se. If the project is a result of completing the West Side project, if the ramp has to be put back in. And so all we're trying to state in this first point is that sentence is actually factually inaccurate, that the West Side project is not done.
Well, we're finished. I want you to stay right there because I would like you to hear what they have to say about this date, completion date. And do you have two more points?
Three.
Great, okay.
Second, with the information we have today, we believe we can meet the 2005 target for restoring the ramp insofar as the cost of the project does not exceed the modernization targeted funds that we have to build the project over the years that we've programmed. So our concern is that the bill makes it mandatory when we have not, in fact, designed the project yet to know what it will, in fact, cost. The third point is that we are fairly comfortable that if we built the project by the 2005 deadline, that we would have to delay some of the remaining projects as part of the West Side. So we'd have to reverse the order of the way we were going to build the Highway 26 and 217 improvements. We have not gone out and communicated that with the public or other local jurisdictions, which currently have the expectation that the order would be the West Side projects would be built first, and the project that replaces the Barnes Road ramp would be built subsequent to that. So there is a public relations issue that we'd have to work through. And our fourth point is that at the last work session, there was an amendment submitted to seek Washington County's concurrence prior to having a LUFO amendment submitted by the Peter Corson, and we're fine with that. We've always agreed that that was a thing we were willing to do.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, go ahead.
Actually, Senator Shannon, I'm the attorney for the Department of Justice that has assisted ODOT in this process since 1995, and I'm here basically just to provide historical history if you have any questions or assistance from a legal standpoint.
So you knew all along that it was a false expectation for them to even think that they might get their ramp back if money is available, and never before 2005. You knew they knew that all along.
Well, in 1995, when this was first before the Washington County Hearings Officer, the question was immediate replacement of the on-ramp or at a future date. That was the question presented to the Hearings Officer. The Hearings Officer decided, based on the information that was submitted to them by the parties, that the ramp should not be replaced until 2005 because it not only requires the construction of the on-ramp, it requires the construction of an additional project called the Braided Weave Project.
And, wait, just a second. And that hearing was when?
That was in 1995. The Hearings Officer, once he heard all of this information, placed a condition upon ODOT and TriMet requiring the replacement of the on-ramp by 2005. ODOT has indicated throughout this process that they intend to meet that condition if the funding is available. And if, you know, just as Mr. Williams mentioned, we hope that the funding is available, but it will require us placing the Barnes Road Braided Ramp project in front of all of the other projects in the West Side Corridor project that the citizens and the regional entities have already agreed to be higher priority. And we just want to make sure the committee is aware that you're going to have commitments that have been made to a huge group of people, huge citizenry up and down Highway 26 and Highway 217 that you now will not be able to keep.
Well, the problem is that you shouldn't tell people that this is what you're going to do. Yesterday it was, and the day before it was, you will have unrestricted access to this road from now on. And then when it comes time to use it, well, we didn't really mean that. You know, this is ODOT.
At the time that in 1995, we did not have the budget cuts that we have had since, you know, and
but
the governor's
correct.
We intend to honor the commitment to put the ramp back by 2005.
Madam Chair, committee members, Dean Phillips on behalf of TriMet, and this might be a little bit of the tail wagging the dog here, but we are brought into this because we were co-applicants in the original land use order. We do, as an agency, have imposed on us this order to reinstall the ramp. TriMet, as an agency, intends to live up to that commitment along with ODOT. We intend to cooperate with ODOT to meet that commitment of the land use order. Last Friday, when we were at the hearing, the proponents of the bill, we heard quite a bit of testimony about how TriMet and ODOT have not lived up to the commitments. I don't want to spend my time today talking about that, but we do have a handout that will detail some of the history. It's a long, long history, and we would like to put that into the record. Just suffice it to say at this point that we disagree with a lot of the characterizations that were made at that time, and the history will stand for itself. There should be, obviously, a note in the record, however, that there's obviously two sides to the story. rather than focus on those detailed issues, however, what I would like to focus on today really is this, the import of Senate Bill 1055 and why we think it really is a bad law and would make bad law if it were passed. First of all, it usurps the local land use process. As has been alluded to by ODOT in its testimony, there was a long process that we went through with this land use hearing. Everybody had an opportunity to come in a public forum, present volumes of evidence, which was presented. The record is replete in that land use process. Went through a local land use process, and a hearings officer came to a decision. That decision was, in fact, to impose the requirement to install the ramp by 2005. The only way that that could be changed is if one of the other parties would seek an amendment to the LUFO, again, requiring a very public, open process. That process is the only way that that commitment can be changed. We have stated continually that we intend to follow through with the commitment. Obviously, money has to be found for that commitment, but that's the only thing that is flying in the ointment of getting the ramp put back in. Everybody agrees. It would be, there are traffic problems there, and some solution has to be brought forward to solve those traffic problems, and we have been working diligently since that time to identify the appropriate solution and the money to put those solutions into effect. The second aspect is that this usurps the regional transportation planning process. This project is a part of regional transportation plans, as was the West Side project and the highway improvements that have been discussed by ODOT. That planning process is a public process. That type of process really is the type of process that can best identify what should be implemented at the local level.
Excuse me, I'm seeing a pattern. I could be wrong, but why are you planning when you can't even keep these obligations for money down here? Why are you planning new and more higher priority, and here's a newer one and a higher one, and you can't even keep these obligations?
This project, Madam Chair, was in fact a part of the West Side project. What came out as a result of the West Side project, that the ramp was removed. Based on lengthy discussions with the with Washington County, with the local residents, there was in fact a decision, a local land use decision, that this ramp would have to go back in. Again, that was a local part of the local process. We're not planning now for transportation project. We as TriMet are not now planning for highway improvements in this particular area. That's not the focus of what we are about. We're trying to solve the problem that was created as a result of our construction of a West Side project. That's simply the focus of our efforts at this point in time, is to solve this particular problem.
Well, I just have a problem because if you promise somebody you're going to do it, and then you say, well, now we've decided other things are a higher priority, it just does something about your word and the people in the process of word. And one thing that hasn't been brought up is the value of the property the Peter Courts gave to make this all happen.
Madam Chair,
you say all this planning, but they in good faith gave a valuable land.
Madam Chair, I can address both of those issues. I think first of all is that we did not promise outside the land use process that this ramp would be placed in. I don't believe that there's any record that promise has ever been made, and I don't think the Peter Courts have maintained that in any of their testimony. So I don't think the TriMet has gone back on its word that ramp was going to be installed.
Just a second. Do you know why they're here?
They are here not because of a promise that TriMet made to them. I don't believe that we have ever promised that ramp was going to
be. So that's the whole issue. Then why are you here if you didn't make the promise?
Because we are brought in as a part of the land use process. Now, there have been some statements made originally early on in the process that there was a reference made to installation of the ramp in the final environmental impact statement. Those references were very vague. There was not a commitment in the final environmental impact statement that that ramp was going to be put back in.
And that's the guiding document?
That is the guiding document for our project, for our particular project.
Okay, thanks.
Senator, if I could add one last thing. I mean, we actually share the frustration of the Peter Courts that this project isn't built yet. And we would have hoped that the money was there. We would have built these and completed these projects quicker than they are. And we have stated repeatedly that we're not entertaining any other projects for modernization in Region 1 until we complete these projects. That's part of the commitment. So we're not adding new things to put in place of this. In fact, we've stated repeatedly in all forums that it's our goal at ODOT to complete the West Side project and the Murray 217 project, which replaces this ramp, before we entertain any new projects. We're trying to honor the commitment.
Okay. Thank you. Why don't you just sit back there? I want their attorney, Tim Ramos. Do you have any response to what's been said? Because we're confused. Why would you be here asking us to consider a bill that they and an act that they never promised?
Certainly, that would be a good question. For your record, Tim Ramos, I'm a lawyer. My office is at 1727 Northwest Floyd in Portland. And I'm here on behalf of the Peter Court family. In fact, the reason we are here is that there was a promise to construct the ramp. And there was also a promise in an agreement mediated by Greg Walden during the special session in 1996 that these two agencies would agree in writing not to change those conditions and change the requirement of the ramp without the concurrence of Washington County. And for 3.5 years, they have not complied with that. That is fundamentally why we're here.
And you gave us a copy of that agreement?
Yes. In my testimony last time, I provided it, and the critical paragraph is paragraph 3. Now, let me respond to the arguments that were made about why this is not good legislation. First, the argument was made that it usurps local process. In fact, the bill is designed to reinforce local process.
Okay.
Back when the supersiding law was developed, these agencies came to you and said, we need a special and unique land use power. We need the ability to veto promises we've made and change the project quickly without litigation so that we can make the quick changes we need to make sure we get federal funding. We need to avoid the rigors of the Oregon land use process. So you gave them that power. Our contention is that once they receive the federal money, built the project, the need for that special power went away. And so the power that exists in the statute now to turn around and veto the requirements of local government and to escape the promises they made during the hearing process is an inappropriate use of the power that you gave them. This is a very modest bill that simply says once light rail is up and operating, those things that you promised in connection with light rail have to be done. You can escape those promises if you go back to the local government and honor their processes, go through their local processes, and get their concurrence in change. So the bill is designed really to reinforce local process, not to defeat it. Second, there was a contention that it defeats the regional planning process. That's not the case. Once again, it's designed to reinforce that process. This project, Westside Light Rail, was built on a promise to the community that was embodied in the environmental impact statement that was presented to the community. And one of the things that that impact statement said was, we will limit the impact on the road system by putting the freeway ramp back. That issue was argued in front of a hearings officer, and I have the opinion here, and I will introduce it into the record. A hearings officer found that the environmental impact statement and the land use final order required the immediate replacement of the ramp. Now, in front of Washington County, these agencies argued that they just couldn't do it right away. The county was willing to grant them 10 extra years to do it. And that's why the 2005 date. We're concerned that they maintain this power to veto that promise. As we get closer to 2005, we get more and more concerned about that. And we think it's inappropriate for them to hold that over our heads. Finally, the argument that somehow we didn't promise the ramp, I think is really
doesn't square with the record in the case and clearly doesn't square with the findings of the hearings officer who heard this argument in great detail. There remains a continuing concern that is legitimate, I think, by the city of Beaverton, by St. Vincent's Hospital, by the Peter Courts, that with this power they can threaten to take that promise away. In fact, they attempted to do that previously. The Attorney General has filed memorandums arguing that they already have exercised the power to remove the ramp. And so I think that it is a legitimate concern. And the bill, I think, is a very modest one that simply says, once you've made the promise, you need to keep it. We've included the language about concurrence because of the agreement that Mr. Walden brokered, and we think that's a legitimate way to approach it, and we're glad that the agency agrees with that.
We want to get a couple of votes out of you before you end.
Okay. I just need to really quickly go through it. Jim, one of the things that really bothers me, it seems like every time we grant superseding power and renege on the very promise that we made with the land use process of an open, fair, local process, every time we do this, it comes back and bites us big time, whether it's prison siding or whether it's this issue. And I hope that we can pass this thing for the very point that we're going to end this foolishness, that we're going to operate our land use policies so that everyone abides by the same rules and not big government gets away with doing things that you and I can't do, and that we get back to keeping our obligations and commitments we made to local communities and private citizens who happen to own property that we now have affected greatly. So I hope we move it, and I'll be quiet.
Thank you. Okay, do you want to... Okay. Senator George, you want to move the -2 amendment?
The amendment that we favored is the -1 amendment. The -2 amendment was there essentially in case ODOT wanted to exempt certain parts of the project. I haven't really heard that argument. So.
Okay, so you want the -1?
Yeah, that was my desire.
Okay.
Oh, I'm just going to have you do it. My vote is given out. Madam Chair, I would like to move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 1065, on loan as LC 3948, 42099.
Okay. Without objection? Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 1065 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Senator George has moved Senate Bill 1065 as amended to the floor with a due pass. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Borden,
aye.
Senator Rose.
Aye.
Senator Hanna.
No.
Senator Yee.
Aye.
Chair Shannon.
Aye. Having received the majority, the bill will pass and I will carry it. The bill is passed to the floor and I'll carry it. This closes the work session at 10:55. But I need you for a few minutes after that. Okay, we want to open a work session on Senate Bill, is it listed? On Senate Bill 749. Senator
Ferriero,
you tell us why we need this bill.
Yes, ma'am, I will tell you why we need this bill. This bill allocates funds of money to the Marine Navigation Improvement Fund to be used for channel and harbor projects currently or previously authorized under federal law or regulation. It allows money in the fund to be used for the design, study, and construction of new navigation improvement projects, and allows funding for channel and harbor maintenance dredging. It's a federal role in financing such projects only if it's eliminated. Requires the Ports Division to establish a process for funding such channel and harbor projects. Madam Chairman, we've been engaged in the process of dredging and channel maintenance over the last several biennia. Last biennium, we spent $10 million, and we committed to a project totaling $27 million in cost. We expect that the allocation for channel deepening will be done in within the budgets, probably Oregon Economic Development Department, which has done it in the past or other. But this bill was dropped to have a vehicle to move the bill forward in case we needed another vehicle to do that channel deepening. So, Madam Chairman, I would expect this bill to have a rather significant cost of $17 million and would expect it to be referred to Ways and Means after favorable action by this committee.
Any discussion? Can I move it there?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
The $17 million is federal money?
No, ma'am. Madam Chairman, to Senator Yee, the $17 million is the Oregon share of the dollars that will leverage significantly more dollars than that for channel deepening to a depth of 44 feet in the Columbia River Channel, which will make our, which will maintain the Columbia River system as a world port.
Mm-hmm.
And, especially the port of Portland, ma'am.
Another question.
Yes.
So, what is the source of money if it's not federal money? I mean, what is the source of matching funds?
Madam Chairman, to Senator Yee, in the past I think that we've used a direct allocation general fund or we've used economic development dollars from the lottery. But I will remind the committee that we embarked on this channel deepening project. It's been one in a series where we've dredged in the Columbia River system, but we embarked on this project in the 1997-99 legislative session when we allocated $10 million, knowing that we'd have to come back in this biennium and put more money in it.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
And by the way, the governor's and the co-chair's budget.
Okay.
So we have the $17 million ready to go in the Department of Community Development.
Well, it is in the budget already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And Madam Chairman, the best part of this still is the relating clause. And it may look entirely different when you see it the next time, but it is a vehicle that would be available in case we need it.
Okay.
It's life and death.
But, what, Madam Chair, why do we need a bill if it's already in the budget?
You guess that. Senator Hannah.
No, I got it. Me.
Madam Chairman, to Senator Yee, the vehicle was thought to be needed in case the OEDD budget goes down in flames. And
it has a great relating clause.
And it has a good relating clause. So.
Okay. So you just want to move just away from me?
Yes, ma'am. That would be my objective, to move the bill with a due pass or with a referral to the Ways and Means, full Ways and Means Committee.
Okay, do you want to go to the floor first or just straight down?
I think it just needs to go to the Ways and Means Committee, Madam Chairman.
Okay, do you want to due pass on it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill
749
to the floor. I mean, to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Just don't leave yet?
Nope. I'm going to run it.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Okay, Senate Bill 7 has moved to Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation. Okay, Senate Bill 7. And so we're going to close the session on
749.
Okay, we have. Just so we have four people here, Senator Fisher has a bill, and we just he wants it moved to Ways and Means. Senate Bill 498. I want to open a work session on Senate Bill 498. And he's working with the state police. It requires suspension of driving privileges and registration of vehicles for persons who abandon the vehicle. It has a few problems, but he wants to send it to Ways and Means, and I think he's spoken to some of us about it. And I could go get him out of the committee, but are you ready to vote? Okay. Okay. Senator Hannan moves Senate Bill 498 to Ways and Means with no recommendation or due pass?
Without
recommendation. Any discussion? The clerk will call the roll. Just a minute. Senator Castillo. Senator Hannan just moved Senate Bill 498 to Ways and Means with no recommendation.
Okay. Okay. It requires suspension of driving privileges.
I know. It's going to be worse on that. Okay. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Castillo.
Aye.
Senator
Hannan. Aye.
Senator Yee.
Aye.
Aye. Haven't received a majority. Moves on to Ways and Means.
Okay. Well, who are Ways and Means Committee? We have a lot of substantive.
They're going to be here till whenever. They're all right.
We have until Labor Day to send them.
Okay. Let's see. I need. Okay, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1296. Did you have the various things? Okay. Do you want to come up? And I'll let Megan tell about it. Go ahead.
Well, Senate Bill 1296, given last week, it allows a remote control water sweeper to be operated in the waters of the state, and the water sphere associated codes would be the one operating boats. And there's no amendment to the.
Is there any discussion?
What's the bill number?
1296. Madam Chair?
Yes, that's
We did hear some serious concerns by the Marine Board about safety issues associated with this. And the Multnomah County Sheriff's Association and the Oregon State Sheriff's Association and the Marine Board all weighed in on this last time, if you remember, and they had some real concerns about safety on this.
Senator Castillo, it has a referral to Ways and Means, and they agreed to look at it. And Senator Hannon has safety concerns, too.
We have the Marine Board's budget down there, and we'll, and I'm assured Mr. Don Heffner, their director, that we'll look at it objectively, and I'm assured Mr. Hughes that, too.
Okay. The budget already passed out yesterday.
It hasn't been decided whether they're going to send it to a poll. It may have passed, but we may receive it back.
Oh, I see.
It's under control.
Oh.
It's under consideration.
Under consideration. Yeah. Okay, that
could be under reconsideration.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Any more discussion? The clerk will call the roll. Oh, wait. Did you move it to the...
I'd move it to Ways and Means.
To Ways and Means, right. We'll just get ready to vote in Senator Castillo. Okay, the clerk will call the roll. You never got to say a word, did you? You look like you've been water skiing. Okay, we want to call the roll, but we're losing, Senator. Go ahead. Go ahead. Did you move it with two pass or without recommendation?
Oh, I don't care. Whatever you want to.
With the two pass. Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
No. Okay. Did you call my name? Yes. So we need Senator Farioli here.
To vote aye?
Yes.
Farioli
votes aye. Okay. Having received, this is that water skiing you were going to do anyway.
He's going to come in nickel time.
Yes.
Oh, is that your bill?
Okay.
Senator George, if we need you for a vote just to finish this agenda, can we come and get you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm already
Okay.
Senator George? If you need me for a voting meeting, I'll be here.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. Having received the majority, the vote goes to Ways and Means with a few pass recommendations. The Senate Bill 1065 goes to the Ways and Means with a
few pass recommendations.
Oh, yes. I'm looking at the wrong page again. Senate page, 1296. With a few pass recommendations. And that closes the work session on Senate Bill 1296. Thank you. Thank you. And this is the new chair. Okay, now we have, Senate Bill 907. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 907. Daryl Ford, do you want to come up if you have questions?
Since on 907, we heard last week from John Fuller and the Justice Department. This is regarding negative equity and some of the trading in a car that was supposed to be used towards one loan.
when they get with the new purchase of the car. And there were some concerns the Justice Department had, and there's a dash two amendment that deletes the second section of the bill, which deals with the leasing.
Okay, is there any, are there any questions? Are there any amendments?
No, I have a question. I'm 2 minutes.
That's true. I was reading that, yeah.
Consent bill, is it on 1231, Madam Chairman?
We are on 907. Consent bill 907.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm on the program. Thank
okay.
you.
Well, great.
That was my question.
Maybe you'll have a question.
Okay.
And we're looking at the dash two, amendment.
Dash two.
Can I explain the dash two?
Yeah, Madam okay. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Darrell Fuller with the Oregon Auto Dealers Association. This bill comes from Ford Motor Credit and has the support with the dash two amendments of the Department of Justice. The dash two amendments delete the second portion of the bill, which had to do with leasing, so the bill has to do now specifically with just the resale. It's retail installment contract. And what the bill does is codify in Oregon law what has been a practice in the auto business, standard practice for years, which is taking a vehicle in on trade where the customer owes more money on the vehicle than the vehicle is worth in the trade, so there's a negative equity in the vehicle. And so what the financing company does is add the negative equity on the trade-in to the cost of the vehicle being purchased and provides the consumer with a single loan. Without this bill, some large national lending companies are afraid that they may have to give a consumer two loans, one for the vehicle and one for the negative equity. And it has been standard practice in the auto business to simply roll the negative equity into the price of the vehicle and provide the consumers with a single loan. This just makes it clear in Oregon statute that that is permissible by law.
Okay, thank you. It's pretty explanatory.
You need a motion. Yes. Madam Chair, I would move. Do we need the dash one?
No, just the dash two.
Just the dash two? Okay, I'd move the dash two amendment stated 428.99.
To the four with the Ducal.
Well, amend the bill first.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, that's right. All right, okay. Are there objections to the amendment? Without objection.
Now, I move Senate Bill 907 as amended to the floor with the new pass recommendation.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Was there any opposition to this bill?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, the Department of Justice had a concern with the bill as originally drafted. With the dash two amendments, the Department of Justice does not oppose the bill. And in fact, Mr. Ebersol, who was here with me a couple of days ago, who worked with Ford Motor Credit in drafting the dash two amendments, indicated that they support the bill with the amendments.
And so I don't have any opposition.
Mm-hmm.
People signed up.
There was no opposition.
No one called. Okay, so clerk will call the roll.
Before casting my I vote, I just wanted to declare a possible conflict of interest because my husband occasionally does advertising for car dealers. And I vote aye.
Aye.
I've received a majority. It goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And do we have a volunteer?
Okay.
Oh, good. So you will carry the bill. And this closes the work session on Senate Bill 907. Now, we need to open a work session on Senate Bill for people, first one, 860. Senator, what is that about? Okay, all right. Okay, where's the time issue?
On 860. Okay.
Madam Chair, this is a bill that introduced at the request of the Oregon Tow Truck Association, and it dealt with the accident towing from accident cleaning up toxic substance. Unfortunately, this committee has spent a great deal of time going after ODOT, and I think we missed the point. We should have gone after DEQ because they failed to even be objective on this along with local government. it was almost like let somebody else pay for the cost of cleaning up toxic or dangerous substance. Don't put it on us. And for that reason, what I'd rather do is not amend the bill, but send it down to Ways and Means and let us subject DEQ to some behavioral modifications.
Okay, I need to talk to the sponsors of the bill. Do you need this bill to do that? Go ahead.
Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Al Elkins with the Oregon Tow Truck Association. We need the bill to resolve the issue, yes, we do. We need it as the vehicle to resolve the issue of what everyone's responsibility is. The consensus of the work group is there is a problem. We don't know who's going to pay for it and how it's going to pay, and we have to determine what everyone's role is, from DEQ to our cities, counties, fire chiefs, and everyone has to come to some consensus.
And that's what I didn't have the bill here. Do you have any amendments?
Yes, the dash two amendments are our amendments. Basically, there's no consensus on these amendments, but we have taken a step back as an industry, looked at what we're doing, and this is a mirror of what we're doing right now, and we've laid this out, but there's no consensus from the group that this is language they can live with, so we do need to look at this issue further.
I'm too late for the caucus.
So what you're saying is any debris from the wreck, the damaged vehicle.
We agree, in the amendments, we agree to pick up any debris from the vehicle itself. We also agree to pick up any fluids that are a residue from the wreck, and that anything over a normal amount of fluids that we determine at the scene, then we call the appropriate road authority. That's what the amendments say. However, there's no consensus today on that language from the work group, so Senator Hannon is right. We need to look further at the issue.
So you do think it should go to Ways and you should get it figured out? Okay,
yes.
That's easy.
We can tie it in with the budget and get somebody's attention.
Okay. And you're committed to do that?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. It's my bill, too.
It's your bill. There you go. Okay. Well, then I have these people that want to testify, and then Michael just testified your committee.
Do they want to have the bill, or do they want to talk at your desk?
Well, it's people that are here. Bill Panhandle, David Barenberg, Doug Tinball. I mean, they didn't travel along.
They're here every day.
if one of you want to say your piece now, I open that up.
Madam Chairman, Member Cindy, I think we were making progress in the work group and would like to continue to be able to make progress, and appreciate the meeting with the group of Senator Hannon. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Senator Hannon moves Senate Bill 860 to Ways and Means with no recommendation. Any discussion? The clerk will call the vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that closes the work. It will go to Ways and Means without recommendation, and Senate Bill 860 will. And that closes the work session on Senate Bill 860, and we will open a work session on Senate Bill 1281. Don Schoenberg, do you want to come up here? Can we leave? Oh, well, come on up. That's where I was born.
That's where you were born?
Yes.
Oh.
Go ahead. Thank you. Welcome. Megan, do you want to tell us about the bill?
Sure.
Okay.
Senate Bill 1281 authorizes monthly registration of farm vehicles and authorizes use of farm vehicles and transportation incidents to farming operations. And also authorizes agricultural transportation vehicle combinations up to 75 feet in length, authorizes bearing permits and transporting divisible materials such as hay and straw bales, and declares an emergency, so the effect of the passes. And there are some amendments, or dash one amendments.
Okay, go ahead. Don, you want to join now? Did you say you have some amendments?
Madam Chair, Don Schellenberg representing Oregon Farm Bureau. Yes, the dash one amendments are the amendments.
Okay.
I would also have to say, however, in preparation, that there will be other changes that will need to be made in order for this to be everybody to be happy. We'd like to make those, we'd like to keep the bill moving. We can make those on the other side. We don't have anyone that disagrees with doing that, but just to let you know that there are still problems with the amendments. They're not the way they're supposed to be.
Okay, do you have a sign-up sheet on it?
Yes.
Well, this is okay, then, and what we're, you, if we move it on, you expect to get those out of LC and amend it over to House?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Who's requesting those amendments? You are, or?
You and I.
Because I remember. Okay, because the lot, right? I got it. Okay.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
That's one more person that I need.
That's one more.
One more. Yes. That's one more person that I need to support this amendment.
Oh, all right. Not an artist. Oh yeah. Thank you.
Madam Chairwoman and members of the committee, I'm Debbie Scott and this is my husband Craig, and we have a farming, custom farming business in La Grande, Oregon, and we're here to support the passage of Senate Bill 1281. One of the points we would like to make are in regard to the ability to register farm trucks on a monthly basis. Many times we may use a truck for 2 to 5 days in any one quarter. It would be very helpful to be able to register them for just 1 month. Another scenario is when the truck is being used to haul seed only, and due to the weather or other conditions, we may have to haul the seed to the farm the end of March and the first of April. This would mean having to register the truck for 2 quarters currently, when in reality it's only being used for maybe 2 weeks. On the monthly registration, we could register for 2 months, thus saving money. Another issue in Senate Bill 1281 is the divisible load provision. Last year we bought a big baler that bales approximately 33-inch by 34-inch bales, and we bale a lot of bluegrass and market it to customers around the area. They prefer the larger bales as it's easier to feed and to handle with equipment, and we ran into a problem when we loaded the bales and found them to be a few inches over height after they had expanded. We called and tried to get a permit to haul the bales and couldn't because it was a divisible load. The problem being that to divide that load, we would have to take 25% of that load off to divide it and to meet the height requirements. And we bale them as tight as possible as it is because we have a hard time getting enough weight on the loads with straw being so light. And we need to make the loads cost-effective to haul and at the same time economical to the buyer. We also do a lot of custom harvesting along with our farm business. To be able to continue in agriculture today, you have to be able to expand your business one way or another. And we're not able to buy more property due to availability and funds. And we began the custom operation because we had the equipment and we had a brother-in-law that needed his crop harvested and he didn't own the equipment. And since then, we've expanded as the need has arose. And we found that there was a need for people to be able to get their crops harvested and or planted, but they may not have the equipment. And to go out and purchase a $50,000 to $80,000 piece of equipment to use for 2 weeks a year just doesn't pencil. And we already have the equipment, and to be able to use it for a longer period justified the cost a little bit more. And we found out last year that we couldn't haul our custom harvesting equipment on our S plate. We'd have to get a commercial plate and license and bond and insurance just to be able to haul our equipment. And we found to complete the paperwork and the cost of the PUC, it would force us to have the truck on the road full time to justify it. We don't have any desire to be in the trucking business now or in the future. And you might say we could hire someone to haul the equipment, but when we finish with one job, we start loading the equipment, and it often takes us half a day just to get loaded by the time we tear down, such as take off headers and things. To pay someone to sit there that long and then haul it just doesn't make good economical sense. And the reason we're doing custom harvesting in the first place is to be more economical. With the margins as slim as they are, to add another cost would make it extremely hard to make ends meet. We're all just trying to make a living and help out a friend, relative, or neighbor. And this is a country where we're supposed to have free enterprise, but when we try to expand, we run up against rules and regulations that disallow it. We feel that there's no difference in the safety of hauling your equipment for personal use on your farm and hauling it to work on someone else's farm. In fact, it's much safer to haul it than to drive the tractor down the road. And thank you for the opportunity to testify today and respectfully request that you support Senate Bill 1281.
Question.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator
Carroll. I'm a co-sponsor of this bill. I'd like to ask you a question of the just the interface that you have with the Oregon Department of Transportation and the folks that are charged with the responsibility for enforcement. How would you characterize the relationship?
As far as, are you talking about the enforcement officers and...
Madam Chair, let me give you the reason I asked the question. During the wheat harvest, some folks that are responsible for weight enforcement show up and set up scales within 100 yards of a grain silo. And, you know, the bottom line is that there's no way to weigh a load of grain coming from the field to a silo. You wait when you get there. It's an opportunistic citation, and very often the people that are driving the trucks are teenagers or folks working during the summer vacations from school, and the trucks are used during harvest only. And they're farm vehicles, they're clearly marked as farm vehicles, they quite often are overweight. And in the wheat century, the overweight problem is much worse in the wintertime when you've got soft roads than it is in the summertime. The wear and tear on the roads from wheat harvest and hauling is negligible, yet the citations can be significant. And it amounts to harassment, in my opinion. It isn't enforcement, it's harassment. I just wondered if this wasn't the same sort of situation.
Stay with you, fully.
Stay with us, fully.
I
volunteered, but you did.
Yeah, Sharon, I guess this is just another one of those customer service issues that we see so frequently with the patients.
Yes, Senator Hammond.
Don Schoenberg, if I can. Don, in the last paragraph of your statement, this is of a housekeeping nature. This section allows vehicles to lease in addition to own or borrow. Why would you want the word lease? Because the concern that people would have with a lease vehicle, like the trucking industry, would say the person wants an F license plate but wants the whole goods, and that would lease your truck out. If we retain the owner or borrow, that doesn't preclude your prevention from hauling your own equipment or your neighbor's equipment if they want to borrow your vehicle. But the leases, I think, is a concern that I might have, as well as possibly the trucking association, because it puts them in direct competition with a person with a F license plate. Do you have any concern on that or expression?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hammond, kind of on page 3 of the bill, it uses the term the vehicles may be rented, leased, or borrowed. Puts all three in there. We're always talking about farm trucks here. And they have to qualify. In order, if they wanted to lease one, they would have to qualify as a farmer. And be qualified to have an F plate. You can't just go out and lease a truck, put a farm plate on it, and just go do anything you want to do. There's requirements you have to meet in order to qualify for a farm plate.
So it's a section of, yeah, it doesn't put in there, as best my knowledge of looking at this, it allows the hauling of logs raised on their farm. And my issue there would be, what is the definition of a Christmas tree? I'm getting this in person. He wants to haul Christmas trees down to Southern California with an F license plate.
Madam Chair, Senator Hannon, they in fact can do that, now, but they have to pay pro rata. They have to. I'm not sure that I can explain to you what the intricacies of that are, but they do haul Christmas trees now.
They get a trip permit?
They have to get the appropriate permits to do that. They're not hauling strictly on that plate. They have to pay whatever anybody else has to pay. So there isn't any competition problem there. And on the log itself issue, that's one of the problems with the bill. That's one of the sections that we need to take out of this bill that allows the hauling of logs. And so that's a section Mr. Keller will be testifying that that's a section that he wants to see removed, and we don't have a problem with that. On this other issue of leased and borrowed, on the last page, on page 9, the term lease is already there, and it doesn't have the word borrowed. And on page 2, the term borrowed is there, but it doesn't have the word lease. And so this just makes it consistent in both parts of this statute that deals with farm
equipment.
Okay. Sure,
I guess another comment on the leasing of the trucks is oftentimes, like in sugar beet harvest, one farmer may lease his trucks, and they set up a schedule for when you deliver your beets. And we went through that process of sharing our trucks. Well, he has to pay for those trucks, and so we're actually leasing those trucks from him. And he's got wear and tear on those trucks and that, and we do a share truck so that we don't have to have it for the longer period of time. And according to the way that the rules were written previously, you couldn't pay for using that truck. And that's kind of clarified it.
Well, I'm sure the truckers have looked this bill over. Would you assume, what are they? That, you know, to answer your concern.
I don't know. I read that someone asked for clarification.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for your testimony on this. I have a question on the part on page 5, line 35. It talks about a truck tractor and semi-trailer combination may exceed the maximum length established, and it cites CORS. If the combination does not exceed 75 feet in length and is being used for transportation of agricultural products, I'm assuming that this maximum of 75 feet in length was put there for safety reasons, or what was the reason why that was in there?
Madam Chair, Senator Castillo, the Dash 1 amendments removed that whole section.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
Yeah. The Dash 1 amendments also removed Section 3 of the bill.
Okay.
That deals with how far you can drive a farm-plated truck when you don't have a commercial driver's license.
Okay.
That's a federal issue. We can't change that as much as we might like to. So that section is also going to be removed.
Okay.
There's a penalty section in here that's not, that's going to be altered slightly, so that, and that's on page 9, so that there's only the penalty will be cut in half only on those loads not exceeding 3,000 pounds. The issue there is you're loading these trucks on the go, and this is what Senator Ferriola is referring to, and just a matter of 30 seconds to a minute can make several thousand pounds difference. It's not that they're trying to break the law. They just don't know. They have no way of knowing because of the variation in the crop, the moisture of the soil, the number of rocks in the ground, all kinds of different things make a difference as to how heavy that truck is from one time to the next. And so that's what that issue deals with.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody ready to go? All right. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. McKellar, would you like to come up? I promise you that we will take care of you in the house. And I know you.
And you can time me.
Oh, that's
my name's
okay.
Bob McKellar. I represent OFPTA, and I have discussed with Mr. Schellenberg lines 4 and 9 on page 4 to 9 on page 3, and it's my understanding that the concerns that I have will be resolved in the House, and I just wanted that to be on the record. Thank you very much.
It's just a belief, isn't it?
Why
couldn't we just do it, you guys?
What I'm after is to have the original language restored.
Oh, you want language? Okay, we'll do it.
I mean, you're deleting it in the bill, and I want to change it from italics to plain old.
Leave it alone?
Leave it alone.
Now, what lines are they?
They're, Chair Shannon, Senator Yee, they are lines 4 through 9.
4 through 9.
What did we have to add?
On page 3.
What all do you want to add?
No, I won't add anything. I just want
the section deleted right there.
I want that section. I have no objection to it being returned to its original state, which is to take the italics out of it.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would move that we amend the bill by removing the italics out and restoring it to its original language.
On
lines 4 through 9 on page 3.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Is that okay?
Perfect.
Okay.
It makes the fact that I missed my golf lesson this afternoon worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I needed the golf lesson.
It's okay, because now your wife's still the best.
Yeah, she is, and she always will be, I'm sure.
The women have to stick together. Okay, so you want to amend that?
Yes, ma'am. Page 3, line 11.
4
through 9.
4 through 9.
To restore that
line. To restore the bracketed material and return to its original language.
Without objection. During discussion, without objection.
Madam Chair, I would move the bill out as amended to the full Senate with a D-class recommendation.
Just a second. What about the dash one?
Oh, do you need those done? Okay.
Okay, there you go.
And Mr. McCarr is okay with the dash one amendment?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Madam Chair, I would move the dash one amendment to the bill.
Is there an objection? So move. Okay.
Madam Chair, I've moved the bill as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Now wait, we have one last bill.
Which one?
Just a second.
I'll let you know if I want to say
anything. Okay. I'm going to close this up. Senate Bill 1284 having received, 1281 having received a unanimous vote goes to the floor with a due pass as amended, and Senator Ferrioli will carry the bill. And this closes the work session on Senate Bill 1281. And it's okay with Senator, we're going to have it. It's the last one.
No. No. I don't participate in the other stuff.
You don't
get
it. It's a different bill.
I know, but I don't participate in
the
other stuff. Ever? I've never done it in 25 years, and I'm not about to start. So I apologize to Mr. Barrows, but that's the rule. But
well, I don't even know if we will if I...
You can call it Senate President, and he'll be glad to help.
Sure, but it might just be a minor amendment.
I don't...
What's the bill? What's the bill?
Yeah, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 855. Senator, would you...
Go.
Okay, just wait. Senate Bill 855, we heard it in a different form a week ago, but currently we just received full testimony. We received the gotten stuff on this, and it defines the terms related to outdoor advertising signs. It permits three-sided rotating outdoor advertising signs. It increases fees for the outdoor advertising business license. Changes the exemptions for sign permit requirements, changes time period and penalties related to relocation permits, and alters removal procedure for non-compliant.
Mr.
Barrows, do you want to come up in the other
lane? And I don't want to increase fees.
Is this going to increase fees?
Madam Chair, for the record, Dave Barrows and Amanda Williams representing AK Media. The answer is there would be some increase in the fees that the industry would pay, and we have suggested that. This is not somebody else's suggestion to have fees increase. We're proposing it.
A second, does that make a difference? If the industry
wants to pay for it,
they want the fees.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go.
You just have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll hear it real quick. Tell us, and then I'll see if I can round in.
Madam Chair, my apologies to you and the committee because these are amendments that were just given to us by our client last Friday. And Megan has been wonderful, and you've been wonderful, Madam Chair. These are controversial. The ODOT does not like parts of it. The only thing that I could even ask this committee to think about would be somehow getting the bill out, moving out of here, and with the understanding that we'll send it over to the House. I think we're pretty close. I think we can come to an closure on it. And I have told ODOT, and I would pledge to them, and I would pledge to you, Madam Chair, that we would not ask Representative Montgomery, Chair Montgomery, to move this bill until we had agreement. That puts the gun at our head because they can just sit there and say no, and then at the end of the deal, we're done.
How long do you think it'll take you to get agreement? Because I have to schedule a couple of bills for next week, and I could go ask the President because the amendments came just before, and we didn't have time. I could send the schedule next Wednesday or Friday.
That would be wonderful, and we would certainly make every effort. And I can't speak for ODA, and I can't. There is another group here that doesn't like, but has been signed up as opposed. I would hope that we could all sit down very quickly at the end of this week. I don't know how soon, but as soon as people could do it, and we would make our best effort, Madam Chair, and that's all we can do. And
okay.
I think that's a wonderful and much appreciated suggestion.
Okay, I'll do it for Friday. I won't share it unless you tell me there's four people that really want it on this committee.
All right.
Because it's kind of stretching over the line anyway.
Okay, I understand. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Okay, and Clayco, are you here? Please, have you seen the amendment?
Not the full one. All I've seen is
such,
and what I have is a...
Come up here for the record. Because I want to be sure you were going to testify to this bill. Do you want to wait and study it and do it next Friday, or what? It's the 7th of May.
Yes, I could do that. I've made a couple comments, if I may, and then I'll be glad to do it.
Yes, please.
As I understand it, once this act is opened up, it can be subject to gutting stuff. Now, the act itself is very, from the initial title, is very innocuous. But as I look over this, I have been on a task force with the Oregon Voters Information Act that has been set up by the Department of Justice. I'm representative of ODOT, of the media, sign media, and of the Oregon Roadside Council. We were the only non-professional people there, you might say. And we urge you not to do anything on this bill until it's really studied and not open up this can of worms.
Okay.
Because we don't want it in this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Sandblast, representing the media, put in a bunch of things he'd like to have changed. And at the time, we said, if you want to do this, then these other things have to be done, too. And so we didn't get a consensus. It went out of committee. I guess we're disbanded now. And so then it's an end run. Looks like an end run around to try and get this thing in some other way. And that's about what I say. And I thank you, Madam Chairman, for your time.
Okay.
And I would definitely like to do something about it.
Did you live in this area?
Yes, I left. I didn't. I left it there in my phone.
No, do you live in Salem area?
No, I live in the Portland area.
Oh, the Portland area. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you have to come back, but I think that you'd probably want to come and monitor the hearing.
All right. And just as an old folks, could I get on a little earlier?
I can't promise, but I'll sure try. I am really sorry for holding you.
All right, let's see. That'll be next Friday. Not this coming Friday, or the...
Well, not this coming Friday.
A week from Friday?
Yes. Thank you. Right. It's been delightful.
All right, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, yes, hold me, Mr. Leitner. Yes, I noticed you'd signed up, too.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Al Leitner with the Department of Transportation. I'll make this very brief. I have seen the amendments as they were proposed. My testimony, I have copies. Briefly, there are five areas that are of rather significant concern to the Department of Transportation. The bill as amended would allow threefold billboard messages to appear in a rotating fashion where one stationary message appears today. By relaxing the spacing requirements for billboards along freeway interchanges and thereby allowing billboards to appear where they're not allowed today would be an effect of the bill. The bill would also, by allowing billboards to be situated or constructed in such a manner as to be visible to several different highways in high traffic areas where today they must meet specific spacing requirements for each highway to which they're visible. Another effect that would change the face of Oregon is by making numerous technical changes to the Oregon Motorist Information Act statute, and that would allow billboards to be installed in areas such as freeway interchanges where they would not be allowed today. And also, this amendment would subject Oregon to a forfeiture of between $25 and $30 million per year in federal highway funds for violating our agreement with the Federal Highway Administration concerning outdoor advertising signs in Oregon. This bill makes significant changes in Oregon's outdoor advertising program. It will allow a proliferation of signs. It will impair the visual qualities of Oregon, and it will reduce the safety of the traveling public along its state highways. There are some states that allow this. Those same states say they wish they could be more like Oregon, however, and I don't believe it's in the interest of Oregon to want to be like those other states. I believe it's in our interest to stick with our outdoor advertising program and enjoy what Oregon has to offer. I will be more than happy to meet with whomever wishes to meet between now and the next meeting.
I went to Vermont one time, not that long ago, and there were no McDonald's in the whole state. People said, well, McDonald's here, but we won't have these advertising signs. Have you driven up towards Seattle and seen those awesome signs at past 5 as you're on the I-5?
I have not.
It looks just like a TV screen, and it's just huge. There's 2 of them. And I was just wondering if there's more accidents. You know what Fife is? Tacoma, Fife, Federal Way,
yes.
And I-5.
Yes,
I was just wondering if you have any history of the accidents. There's huge signs, look like a big TV.
Madam Chair, I am not aware of statistics. I imagine there are folks gathering statistics. I'm not aware of any.
Okay.
Who's offering the -1 amendment?
Mr. Dave Darrow.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And Melissa?
Amanda.
Oh, William. Yeah, that's it. William. Okay. Do you have anything else? Oh, do you think it's possible, Mr. Leitner, that it could be amended in such a way that it could work?
Madam Chair, they have amendments that increase our fees, and we do not endorse increasing our fees. I cannot imagine making... I don't know where to start to find the middle ground. They're inviting things that we don't want that would appear to be to our benefit.
Well, what if they increase the fees so it would be... we would be able to pay the $30 million fine.
Madam Chair, I don't believe that would be fair to all the other sign owners in Oregon who would be drugged through the eye.
Oh, no, just to these kind of signs. If that's big bucks for them, anyway. I'm just kind of playing. Come on, Dave. We have to get to another committee. Yeah.
Mr. Leitner has been under an unfair advantage because he's only seen the amendments for a couple of days. I mean, we all have. It's an unfortunate situation. Let me just mention a couple quick things. He indicates there's a couple other states that have these tri-vision signs. We know of at least 32, and we don't know which legislatures that have adjourned in other states this go around.
Is it tri-board or the three boards?
It's three boards. Sure.
Yeah, right. Oh.
This is not. We are not cutting new ground on tri-vision signs. That's not a new deal. He talked about losing $30 million. All the department has to do is renegotiate a new agreement with the federal government, as the 32 other states have done. It's not that big a deal. And if they don't want the fee increases, Madam Chair, they're gone. I can tell you right now, we've already amended the bill in one particular. The fees stay the same. We were trying to help the department. By getting, they haven't had a fee increase in a long time. We're trying to get them up a little bit. They don't want it? Perfect. So I think there is more better. Most of the language that's in this bill is the language that came out of the work group that the gentlemen from the Roadside Council mentioned, that there wasn't general total consensus on. But most of that language is the language that, frankly, Mr. Leitner sent to my client.
Hey, he wants to respond.
Madam Chair, I appreciate the opportunity to address those two points. I did participate on the task force, and I explicitly told the task force that I did not want to encounter a situation in the Oregon legislature where we were forced to hold hands with the sign industry on these issues because we were not ready to go in that direction. We have a court case in front of the Supreme Court of Oregon right now. Time is not right for us to be addressing some of these issues. Mr. Sandblast of AK Media asked me to please send him my ideas that I got from the Department of Justice on things we were considering, and I told him specifically, these are things that we are not carrying forward. These are things that are privy between me and the Department of Justice. These are things I alone asked the Department of Justice for, and these evidently are the things that have found their way into these amendments.
Okay, well, we'll take this up later. If you think there's a Supreme Court decision,
there is a case pending.
Okay, is AK Media, are they the ones that put the signs in up at Mill City? Not sure, about a year ago.
Madam Chair, I cannot tell you that. I do not know, but I'll know the answer by Monday.
Okay.
Let me just assure you, Madam Chair, there's nothing in this bill that would allow for the big TV.
Oh, really?
Signs. There are no TV signs in this bill.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. There also is a huge controversy in the city of Portland about those same kinds of television-looking signs. And that's a big brouhaha. My company, the company I represent, does not do those kinds of signs.
You just talking about the Tri?
The Tri-Vision.
That's it?
That's and some other changes. I mean, I'm not, okay, just not doing anything to build those. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, oh, here's Senator Ferrioli.
I guess I need to have a little better understanding of what the term hold hands means.
What did you just say?
Madam Chair, I guess I have to have a better explanation of what the term hold hands means. The witness testified that he wasn't prepared to hold hands with the sign industry. I'd like to know what that means.
We're ready to compromise.
Well, Madam Chair, I want to hear that from the...
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, Senator Ferrioli, what I meant was in the context of I did not want someone showing up here saying that with these amendments, most of what is in them is what the Oregon Department of Transportation and this work group subscribed to. The work group never took one vote on anything. And that was what I meant. Our relationship with AK Media and all the other sign companies, I believe, is very cordial, very professional. I respect them very much. This is a very unfortunate tangle due to the press of time, and I feel somewhat betrayed in that. But I very professionally respect Mr. Sandblast. He's a very honorable person, and I enjoy his company very much. The same with Jim Torrey and many of the other folks in the sign industry. We are not at odds with them on a professional level. I hope that answers that.
And if I may, Senator Farrelly, Madam Chair, in talking to Mr. Sandblast, who unfortunately is in Seattle this week for the meetings, and this is, we've been dealing with him by telephone and fax, I don't think he had any sense that the bill that was provided to him, or the information that was provided to him by Mr. Leitner, was somehow embargoed. And so there was obviously, he misunderstood how he could use it or what it was within his possession, what he could use it for. And I'm sure that he did not had any intention to blindside Mr. Leitner. And so if there is a breakdown of communication there, on his behalf, I apologize to Mr. Leitner and to the committee. We're not trying to play games with anybody or trying to blindside anybody. You know, that's not my style, Madam Chair.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for letting me.
Any more questions?
Just that I understand that Mr. Leitner feels that he was blindsided, and I, under the circumstances, that can be a very uncomfortable place to be in. So I guess I'm a little sympathetic to that. It's one of those things in this building, a secret is something you tell one person at a time. But I was just really concerned about, again, it's the customer service issue, whether or not there's a good relationship between the regulated community and the regulator. And there really needs to be cooperation, and I think that's what Mr. Leitner is pointing the card to. But I would rather see the issues negotiated, and if there's no middle ground in a situation, somebody's not looking for a middle ground. And I guess that can happen from an advocacy standpoint, because I've seen folks that have advocated for bills in this committee and others that didn't offer a middle ground, and I've seen that from the agency standpoint, and it's just a real tough place to be. And I think Mr. Wrighton feels this way very fast.
We are very grateful to Mr. Leitner's willingness to visit the guests 10 days, and we'll hopefully put them to good use, and if we can't come to closure.
They need us down in there.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, to everybody, it is only Jess, I want to remind everyone out there that we are not meeting on Friday. This is our last meeting we had last night, so there's no Friday afternoon meeting.
Oh, come on.
We have a closing work session at 8:55.
Madam Chairman, we have one more question.
What?
Can we get that McDonald's amendment in Oregon?
No!
They got that in Maine?
We had to go to a store and buy bread.
There were no McDonald's in Maine?
In Vermont.
In Vermont?
I want
that amendment.
I'm going to close the adjournment meeting. Okay.